the last, we'll be the first. What a day, I'm telling you.
This is Jimmy Nanette. Yes, I did say Annette. She is back again for week two. Miracles of miracles. There is a God in heaven.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome back to the show.
Wow. I was here last week.
Well, it was last Saturday, actually.
I know.
We did our broadcast.
It came up on Saturday, but you didn't get it posted till Sunday.
Right, because it was a long day.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, and we went home. We had things to do.
We sure did.
I know. You look gorgeous today, by
Thank
the way.
You. Because I got dressed because I worked today. Saturday, I was like, no, and then I don't even want to put makeup on.
But and you had a Bible study you went to.
I did.
Ladies Bible study.
A very tough ladies
you're
Bible study.
Covering a simple book called the Book of Revelation.
Yeah. Apocalyptic literature. Kill me now. No,
oh
I'm just
God.
Kidding. It's
it is
hard.
Big.
It's
that's a big one to tackle.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different viewpoints
and
different
but
ideas.
It doesn't
about it.
Even we're not even at that point.
You haven't even got into the views, the different views,
because
there's a bunch.
It doesn't
I'm grabbing my Bible.
It's literally expository teaching.
Wow.
So you're
verse
looking
by verse.
Well, yeah, you're looking
wow.
back too, because it correlates with the Old Testament. And you really need to know the Old Testament,
yeah,
and that
lot.
Is not something that I'm just extremely knowledgeable in, because we've always say we're New Testament believers, but we obviously believe in the Old Testament.
Of
but
course.
But I've not studied it as much. I'm just now studying, and I just finished the book of Genesis today. I'm going to start Exodus tomorrow. But this is tough. This is really...
It's... We're doing a lot of tough study. You're doing that on Thursdays in a ladies' Bible study. And you said y'all started with how many when y'all started in the fall?
I think we started with over 60, but I don't
how
know
many
how
are
many.
There now,
I don't
ish.
Know. I have no idea.
No idea?
I couldn't
half?
Count. I would say at least a quarter have dropped off.
Yeah, I could
but
see.
But we have gained a couple of new people.
Oh, that's
but,
good. After the break.
I don't know how they can jump right in, honestly.
For real, because that is
it's very tough. Jen Wilkins is the teacher, and obviously she is very, I mean, she says she doesn't even know much, but what comes out of her mouth, we're all kind of flabbergasted.
Well, I watched one of the videos with you, and I was like, whoa, this is like seminary level stuff.
It is. Mm-hmm. I do. I feel like I'm in seminary. And
good.
It's going to take probably, because you do all this days and days worth of homework before you even have the video of her teaching. And I'm going to literally have to go back through and watch all the videos again over and over and over just to get it.
Well, the Bible does say, study to show yourself approved unto God. So, so there you go.
And it's hard when you're
your
doing
share.
Other things, too, because I'm trying to get into the Old Testament. And
yeah,
we've
doing
got
your own
this,
private.
And then
Wednesday night, we're doing our Walking with Jesus discipleship journey, which is borderline seminary level. It's deep. It's theological. It's intense. It's an hour and a half. Pastor Brian brought it last night. Oh, my gosh. So good.
So good.
Talking about biblical worldview, having a biblical
yes.
He was talking about the Bible and history and how it's impacted and influenced mm-hmm. historical
Which
things.
Which is his story. I love that.
I do. Yeah.
We've said
that
for years.
We have.
And
I love it.
But, you know, I haven't said it for mm-hmm. years, too. I mean, we used to talk about it being
All of this is
story.
A refresher for us, because we went through this 20 years ago,
yes.
and it rocked our world then, and it's re-rocking our world
yes.
now.
And then now you're going back to the Acts study.
Yes, I'm super excited. Cannot wait.
On Sunday morning. So I feel like I'm full as a tick. I know that
that's
sounds
a bad image.
It is a bad image, but that's
a
the only thing I can
tick.
Think of. And it's almost overwhelming. So I'm like,
that's a lot.
It is a lot, because I'm doing Exodus
thing.
Now.
You know how this works.
Revelation, Acts. I'm like,
you're
whoa.
Like swimming in it.
Yeah.
And not light stuff. This isn't lightweight
no.
thing. These are all heavy studies. But think about, okay, to use your imagery, you're full, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like to use the image of a bucket. So your bucket, not just your buckets, but it's like bring more buckets, because there's so much going in. It's more than one bucket. So your
yes.
buckets are overflowing right now. KYBO, right?
Right.
Keep your buckets overflowing.
Right.
But what it's doing, it's now you've got the word so in you that in any given conversation, the word pings, doesn't it?
But you don't want revelation coming out of me.
That's some wild, a ten-headed beast, the woman with the flaming sword struck down.
We're not even there yet. You keep going there, and you're scaring me.
That's the images of revelation that I have. Yes. It's just the wild stuff, you know, very... Very
well, the images
epic,
that were talked about today were very demonic.
Yeah, some dark, very dark stuff.
Very dark.
Speaking of, we live in a world that spiritual warfare is a real thing. We talked about weird stuff last week on our podcast, and that recording was weird stuff. So here's, you know, we have a Rodecaster Duo, which is a great unit. And normally you either turn it off or turn it on, or you just leave it on. It just keeps its settings. And the Podfather, Adam Curry, came in and reset our settings just to make sure things are right, because we're having some struggles with it. Working great. I did a podcast with Rick Green. Sounded great. But on Saturday when we came in, I pulled it up, and it just sounded strange. It was overdriven, and I was able to, at one point when you're talking, back off the gain a little bit, and it cleared it up a little bit and helped, made it tolerable.
But we don't know what caused it.
Not sure what caused it. And then... So Adam came in on Wednesday morning just to look at it again and go, okay, let's take another look at it and figure out what's going on, make sure we got our settings nailed down. And it worked perfectly. I mean, it was just like...
So we didn't even have to do anything.
No, exactly. And he said, he connected the dots. He said, well, you talked about weird stuff. And look what happened.
You had weird stuff happen while you were recording.
So there it is. It was a lifetime illustration, or real-life illustration, real-time illustration.
For sure.
But so there a big some big things happened this week on Monday. What happened Monday?
Oh, you're so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The presidential inauguration. We've been waiting
for a new golden era started and began. And I really have hope.
Which, you know, I turned the TV
on
early.
We've never done this before.
I turned it on early.
Sorry.
And you usually don't like to watch any TV during the day.
I don't.
You like to wait.
I'm not a
but
TV
you
guy.
Were glued. We were both glued. I think we...
You turned it on and I was in my office and I heard it.
And
I was
like, okay, I wandered through the room
and I was like, okay, I'll just sit down for a minute. And then it was like, I was hooked.
I was more anxious about Central Time. Obviously, the fact that he was getting inaugurated, but what executive orders he was going to sign that day, and which he signed hundreds.
Oh my gosh.
It was unbelievable.
He's on
fire. And we were waiting all day, you know, to hear the different executive orders, which we just loved. Some of them that we were very excited about was the J6ers got pardoned. He had mentioned in an interview, I think in December, that he might not pardon all of them, that he would pardon the ones that were nonviolent. But in his little speech during the whole inauguration day, as he was signing, he decided to pardon all of them because he realized even if there were people that incited violence, they've been in jail for a long time, and longer than most criminals get in today's age for certain things. So he felt like, you know, that was worth pardoning everybody. I don't know if I agree with that. But it was his choice. Our main thing is we have some J6ers in our church.
Yeah, so,
and that we're at church Sunday.
Right,
I was
going to introduce those.
Yes.
So I introduced them to the church, and we prayed for them. But we had Luke Coffey with us. Luke, if you're familiar with the J6 scenario, not what you saw in mainstream media, of course, or legacy media, but what you would have seen in some of the documentaries.
They skew everything.
Oh, you think? You think? So, it's sometimes it's not that they lie. They just don't tell the whole truth.
Right.
No context. Context is king in anything, right? And so Luke Coffey was the young man, very country boy, Texan. He's from Dallas-Fort Worth, who when one of the girls got trapped in the tunnel and was getting crushed by the crowd as things got escalated to the very beginning— him, being a good Christian guy, loves Jesus, saw a girl in peril. He rushes in through the crowd and begins to push people away to help her because she was literally getting crushed. Sadly, she died. She lost her life.
And he grabbed someone's crutch.
He stood
held it
and
up.
He held it up. There's an amazing video on this. I mean, clear as a bell.
Is it a documentary that we watched?
It's a documentary we watched. There's several, but the one we watched
I think it was on
clear.
Epic.
It was. He even said that was probably the epic. He held the crutch up.
Which they show the true thing of what happened, which is what you're about to say. Yeah.
He held the crutch up and he started yelling out to the crowd, please pray, please pray. And then stop, 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 try to calm everybody down. Mm-hmm. So he's holding that crutch up and a police officer, a female behind him, started hitting him with a club.
And why is she doing that?
I think everything got escalated and he's holding up a crutch and he's
yelling
something. Was
she maybe afraid that he was going to do something?
She might have been afraid that he was escalating things when in fact it's clear on the video because you can hear him. He's saying, please pray, stop, stop. He was trying to calm things down.
I think we should watch that again.
I do too, especially now knowing what we know. So what happened, she started beating him. I mean, beating him like with a billy club and he went down. And then when all the dust cleared, they got that girl out of there, but she died from her injuries of being crushed and suffocated by the crowd. And then he was promptly put in jail.
He was arrested. And then when he went to trial, this is what I understand. The same woman who was beating him testified that he didn't even touch me.
Because they were trying to get him on an assault charge, that he assaulted an officer, which is a felony.
And she said no.
She said no, he didn't.
Didn't they get her on the assault charge is what I don't understand.
Well, what's crazy is that they indicted him anyway. They went through and they convicted him. He spent 56 days in prison or jail, 56 days in jail / prison.
And then now he was supposed to be sentenced.
Right, awaiting sentencing.
But now it got pardoned.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to go through.
That got, because his sentencing was going to be in April of 2025. Yeah. And so he was with us in church. We had Ellie.
Let me say this before you go on to the other two. What I loved about him is he said, I have never been in a prison except to preach the gospel in prison.
Why?
He did that with his dad.
His dad was a prison minister.
His dad was a prison minister. So he would go with his dad. So he said, so this was quite.
He said it's way different.
A challenge to be in there on the other end.
Something interesting had happened on TMZ. TMZ had actually shown the video where he stood up and held the crutch in the air. So they did, and the prisoners were watching it on the TV because their eyes are glued to the TV.
Of the prison that he ended up going to,
of
or
the
jail
prison
or
he
whatever.
Went to, and when he went into the prison, they treated him like a rock star. They treated him like royalty because he was actually doing the right thing.
So
he was trying to help.
TMZ portrayed it properly.
Well, yeah, I mean, they portrayed that part where he's holding the crutch, telling people to pray, calm down, and
then the rest of the news, especially 2020
media, legacy
CNN,
media.
All of those, they went nuts.
Of course, they did.
We watched some of that, and we watched how skewed it was. A lot of it, they had it so skewed that they had us questioning.
Exactly.
Remember?
Well, of course, because
some of those
you only
news,
know what you know, yes. and they only tell you what they want you to know to feed their narrative. Yes. So you're believing that and not knowing, and it looks terrible the way they set it up. So getting to know Jenny
McCombs,
or Jenny Cudd was her name before she married Doug. So she was Jenny Cudd when all this happened. And her and Doug are amazing people. She has a great ministry. She's helping people. They're taken in. They've built their first tiny home. They've also got B&B, and they're putting people up that are J6ers who are being released. And I haven't heard yet. This is we're coming to you on Thursday, the 23rd. I still haven't heard if they released the J6ers in D.C. because a judge was holding
them.
Was
it D.C. or New York?
No, it was D.C.
Which. That's appalling.
It is.
And they ended up having to get the marshals out.
So I don't know. I haven't seen a follow-up on that yet, so
either.
I'm curious to check that out. But anyway, it was nice having Eliel, JC, Luke, and Jenny in our church on Sunday, four J6ers. We were able to love on them. We prayed for them, had the whole church turn and pray for them and lift them up. And it's a blessing to walk with them and continue to uphold, you know, righteousness and truth and justice. That's our heart. It's not a political bent. It's a righteous bent.
Right, right.
It gets portrayed as political. Oh, you're conservative, or you get labeled, you're MAGA. The only MAGA I am is make America
godly
again.
That's
the MAGA I am.
Yes.
So, but it's interesting how we get lumped into these categories because it's the way people think. But really, it's not that I'm a Trumpite. I voted for the platform
justice.
That most align with biblical
justice.
Values. And so happens to be that. So anyway, thank God for them.
So another inauguration a bill that got executive order that got put through was protecting our borders,
yes.
And that was very important.
Especially
did you hear
for us who live
that
in
they
Texas.
Sent 1,500 troops to the border
yes.
yesterday or today?
I think yesterday they arrested nearly 400 criminals.
But they sent
criminal illegals.
Troops. I read that in the news this morning.
It's good news for those of you who don't live in Texas. We don't just live in Texas. We live in South Central Texas. Mm-hmm. We're less than an hour to San Antonio, mm-hmm. and I got to tell you that has been a collection place mm-hmm. where they have been flocking to, and also the I-10, which we live close to the Interstate 10.
And we're fine for those that are wanting to come over legally.
Absolutely.
It's those it's the ones that are criminals that we're terrified of.
I'm pro-immigration if you do it the right way. You go through the channels.
Right.
But the illegal, when your first act is illegal to come in here, there's a problem.
Yes.
So you're setting a bad precedent. So, but I'm open. I mean, I think America should be the land of dreams. It should be bring your harass, your haggle.
Right.
I mean, as long as it's done right, I'm good with that. So,
third one that is really huge on our heart, and this is biblical, and that is two genders.
I knew you were going to go there.
Two genders.
And I so agree. I was so thankful when he made that declaration.
Declared, yes.
You know, President Trump. It feels good to say President Trump and ex-President Biden.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Ex-VP.
Although,
Kamala.
After hearing the letter that he wrote to Trump, most people don't believe that he actually wrote it or someone else dictated it to him. But what I'm hoping and praying for is that maybe he had an epiphany of who God is, because that's what we all should be praying for.
We all should be praying for that.
And so the fact that he wrote that letter to him, which you explained to me, had some good things in there.
Yeah, it was impressive.
It gives me a glimmer of hope. I don't know.
We've been praying for their salvation.
Yes.
We want people to be born again. That's our heart.
Because we're not here to bash.
No, we're here to build up. We're living up in a down world.
We are here to tell the truth and what's happening in the world. But we as Christians, it is our obligation. This is our privilege to pray for unbelievers, period. I don't care if they're murderers or if they're ex-presidents. We are called to pray for them. And our world will be a better place if Christians do what they're called to
do,
and that's pray.
Yes.
And disciple
one
another.
Make disciples. Yeah.
Because if you don't teach people what the Bible says, how do you know how to live it out?
Exactly. So speaking of that, let me segue into something.
Okay.
So I was thinking about how the last 4 years have just been, in a very real sense, nightmarish. I mean, since COVID.
Economy.
And then the economy tanking. And then wokeism, the woke virus just infected our culture through the last administration and the things. I mean, when you've got some of your top leaders in the nation cross-dressing and transing and using different pronouns and all that, and you're like, you're supposed to be the leader of the military. You're supposed to be the leader of the health department. You're supposed to be the leader, you know, the secretary of state, all these different things. And they're men in women's clothes or in bondage clothes. I mean, sick stuff, trying to normalize this stuff. And the whole world is screaming no. You know, a very small percentage of people are going, yes, finally. But most of us are going, this is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to put up with that for 4 years. But what that did, it heaped a lot of stress on people. I mean, we came out of COVID, then we have a scary administration, then everything goes left and off the cliff. Think about the trauma. Mm-hmm. Cultural trauma that we had coming out of COVID. Then we go right into this administration. Many people that I trust and believe that the election was absolutely stolen in 2020. When you look at statistics and facts and video, and we've looked at a lot of that, it's like, yeah, there's no way it wasn't.
But I'm so glad.
But let me finish the statement.
Okay.
But what it did, it threw our world into pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, disruption across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Wars broke out. I mean, people taking advantage of the scene. Then you've had mass immigration all over the world. I mean, Paris, France is disaster.
Right.
London looks like a bomb hit the place. And even some of our beautiful cities like Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York, they're like tent cities in the streets and parks. I mean, in the fentanyl, I mean, you can go down the list on how off the cliff things went, but what it did, it created a massive trauma, massive cultural stress. So on Monday, when I was sharing with somebody what I felt on Monday, I said, while on one hand I felt jubilation, but I think the bigger feeling I had was relief. Just like a weight had come off my, like I had bricks on my chest. So let's talk a minute about
And let me say this. I cried when Trump won. You cried during his inauguration.
I did,
you
and I did not see it coming.
And cried. And
I literally did not expect that. It was when he was going through his speech.
Yeah,
and
his speech, whoever wrote it was
genius.
It was
He was enumerating, and everything he was saying are the things we've been talking about and praying about, even as a church. Things I've been talking about from the pulpit to our church to train, educate, teach, and get them prepared. And he's enumerating everything that almost felt like 3 months ago we were going to lose it.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it had already gone off the cliff in terms of culture and what was being approved. So it almost felt like, oh, no, what if this doesn't happen? Of course, it did, and hallelujah, and oh, my gosh. And so I did a podcast with Rick Green from the Patriot Academy. It was on his – it's called The Tavern this last week. And
which, were you able to get it on our Godcaster yet?
I'm waiting for Faith to call Rat Green and get that done, and I bet she hasn't.
You need
to
remind her.
That's our daughter, by the way. Daughter, we love her. So I need to remind her to do that, though. So so if I do that, I'll let y'all know, because it's really, I think it'll be enlightening as well. There's a couple of J6ers on there right before me. And then,
has a great podcast.
Oh, he is so good. He is so good. I mean, he's considered America's constitutional expert. So, I mean, he is like the man, and he's in our church. I mean, he's such a great brother in Christ. So I was doing that with him, and we were talking about, you know, everything that had happened, everything we had gone through. And I kept saying, it's the same thing I've said from the beginning. We don't have a political problem. We have a spiritual problem.
Yes.
And this is, unless we get that right and get our hearts realigned, we're just going to repeat the same stuff over and over. History will repeat itself.
Trump was in office before, and then we as a church became complacent and just let him.
We got lazy because we thought, oh, we're in the golden age.
We're in the golden age, and we cannot do that
now. So this is one of my roles as a pastor, educator, teacher, to make sure that our church doesn't get lulled into a false sense of security and a false sense of, hey, peace and safety. You know what the Bible says when they say peace and safety? That's when the end comes. So I want to make sure that we don't just end up in a hammock on a spring day. So we got a war to wage. So anyway, all that, here's where I wanted to go with it. And I want to get your take on it. So there were times when we were watching the news or reading the news or watching a documentary, and we would just, I mean, you could feel your blood pressure rising. You could I could feel it at times where I was so in angst, so stressed over this. What do we share with people? Because it doesn't have to be because of an election or that. I'm talking about stress in general. Where do you go to when you have one of those moments where you just hit the wall and you just feel the weight? You know, we talk about weight on our chest, you know, that feeling in your gut and your chest that felt like an elephant sitting on my chest. Where do you go with that?
Well, I did feel that way when I was constantly looking at the news and couldn't let go. This is before you began looking at the news. And it was eating me up because I was allowing that to take over what I know in my heart, who God is and what he wants to do. And so I had to turn it off and say, God, I know this is, I need your help in bringing peace back to my life, because it was giving me such unrest and such angst, like you said, stress, that I could hardly function, because you begin to... As a believer, we have hope. You know, we have a hope in a future, as the word says. And we know that this is not our home, but temporarily. We get to promote to heaven. But we have to live in this fallen world. We have to live in all of this that's going on. But we have to also know that God wants to give us peace and comfort in the midst of our stress. And so you have to have enough fortitude to say, you know what, I need to turn this off. This is, if it's taking over your life and you're not able to be a believing believer, as we've talked about in the past, then you've got to make some changes.
So
that's what I had to do. That's why I don't know as much. You tell me some things, but it's not overtaking your life. You get enough, just enough to kind of know what's going on so that you can address it or whatever. For me, I was consumed, and I did not like how I was feeling and how it was making me feel depressed, because I know what the Word says, and the Word is the opposite of what the world says, and He's our overcomer. We don't overcome. He overcomes for us. And so I had to come to a realization that this was taking me down a path of who I was before Christ, not after. And so that's what I did.
So the first thing, and I like that, you pushed away.
I had to push away.
It's literally, we're sitting at a table right now, so I just have that picture in my mind, just pushing back.
You have to use your hands, because you
pushing
talk
back.
With your
I do
hands.
Talk with my hands, absolutely. Push back. You push back from the table and say, you know what? I need to back away from this, because this is taking me down a rabbit hole, as mm-hmm. we say, or a
right.
dark hole.
Yeah.
And so you push back. Now, and I had to do the same. I had to limit my intake.
But you still needed to know enough
yeah.
to at least, and tell me
right.
what was going on.
I kind of had to go on an information diet, you know, a mm-hmm. media diet, and say, you know what, I'm going to have some.
But you needed
but
to get
not.
The correct media information.
Which is tricky in
it
this
is.
World is
I
to
know.
Get good information. And so what I did is I compiled, in fact, I have it on the newsletter. Subscribe to our newsletter. I've got a list of what are somewhat trusted media outlets that could help you. And this was given to me by a very sound, sharp history professor who gave me these. And so I've just got them on the newsletter. You can subscribe to that. Just go to livingupinadownworld.com. And subscribe, and I put that out every time we do a podcast, probably right before or right after we do the podcast, so you'll have a heads up that there's one posted. So that's on there, and that might help you find some trusted outlets. But beyond that, okay, so we go on a diet, basically. We say you got to limit our intake, because this is taking me into a dark place. I don't like what this is doing in my life. What was another thing that you did during that time? Where else do you go? Okay, so you push back from the information, but what do you do now with the stress, the weight that you're feeling?
Well, you have to give it to the Lord. You have okay. to, which is what I had to do. And I had to say, I need you to fill me up with the right things, the things that are going to bring me peace and joy.
I love that. And in fact, I want to go to a scripture, because mm-hmm. for me, I thought you would just go straight to the Word. That's usually what you're. I'm going there.
Okay. Which word? Which there's so many scriptures.
There's so many, but I want to go to Philippians, because I want to share something. I actually woke up with this verse on my mind, which was interesting.
Right now, Revelation is just going.
No kidding. Don't go to Revelation if you're stressed.
No.
It's the end of the world. So listen to this.
Unless you read the very end where we win, yeah, because he wins.
Philippians 4. I love this. This is such a go-to.
Think of those things that are.
Yeah. Let me start with this at the top part. It
okay.
says, this is Philippians 4, chapter 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything.
Four, verse 6.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. And supplication. So you mm-hmm. went to the Lord. You started yeah. talking to God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So he invites us to come and say, hey, what's your request? Mm-hmm. What have you got? Well, Lord, this is... I'm tanking
it's
on
eating
this.
Eating me up.
I'm stressed. It, mm-hmm. Literally, we talked in those terms. Mm-hmm. This is eating me from the
right.
inside out.
Right.
Or one of the
and
things.
And for me, because I'm such a justice person.
Oh, it's killing you.
Just hearing
killing
all this is
you.
Just like, yeah.
Because right is right and wrong is wrong.
Right.
And there is no gray area.
But I have peace now. I don't have
yeah, I know
that.
You do.
And I did before the inauguration,
well,
too,
because
of what you're talking about.
And we
right
did. We
now.
Had that conversation. Now, look mm-hmm. at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, man, right there, just the promise of peace that guards.
Mm-hmm.
Guards your heart, guards your mind, right?
Yes.
So, those are, we're pretty familiar with that. And it's something it's a go-to for me, obviously.
I pray that constantly with people, because that's where people, when people come up for prayer, that's what they want more than anything. They don't know what they want because they're trying to articulate.
Well, it's kind of why I wanted to go here today, because let's talk about collective stress.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about traumatic, cultural stress, cultural trauma. Verse 8, this is what I woke up pinging in my mind, and I wasn't even sure why exactly. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Yeah.
And so he's saying it's replacement theory, where you literally have to replace all that dark stuff. So, I mean, wherever you are and you're listening to this show right now, first of all, thank you for being with us. But if you're feeling that weight, we all often describe it as an elephant on our chest, right? You know, you feel stress in your body, and it's visceral. I mean, it impacts your physical body. And if that's where you are, I want to invite you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8.
What I love about Philippians is it's the book of joy.
It is.
So you can read the whole book and you will feel lighter than you were. You will feel weight lifted off, and it just gives you a sense of peace. And
that's true. Paul loved the Christian believers in Philippi, is the place where it was. He just had a great affinity for them and a great joy about them. Apparently, you know how it is. You can go into different groups of people, and some just, man, you just walk in, you go, oh my gosh, you know, feels like home, or it feels good to be with this group of people.
Right.
We have people around us like that all the time. So thankful. But he also talks about replacing those negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
What is it exactly called? Stinking thinking.
Taking every thought captive.
Yes, yes.
To the obedience of Christ.
And I don't care how long you've walked with God, whether you're a brand new believer or you've walked with him 40 years.
I'm sure
years.
Billy Graham had to do this on a
daily
basis.
We all do, because different things impact us and inform our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement is, as we were talking about the show today, is I thought, how can we help people, give them tools for lifting this weight off of them?
And just because we have a new president and he's saying the things we wanted to hear, doing the things we wanted him to do, we're still in a fallen world, and we can't just, again, just walk around going peace, like you said. I mean, there's still a force out there that wants to take the Christians out. The enemy wants to take us out. He wants to take our joy away. So he'll come at us in a different way. So we have to be on guard. And that's where Ephesians 6 comes in, where we have to have ourselves guarded up so that, armored up, excuse me, so that we'll be on guard when the enemy tries to come, because he's going to come in a different way now. You know what I mean? So all the Christians are like, okay, all the ones who voted and very happy. But this is where we don't let our guard down. This is where we have to literally put that armor on. And so
let me read that passage
out of Ephesians.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his
might.
Not
There's
ours. The key. It's his strength, not ours. Put on. That means you got to literally put it on. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Yes.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He lists it out. So there's another passage that you can go to get some help in this.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you're battling, whether it's stress or fear of the unknown or anxiety of the future or whatever's on you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Could be somebody criticized you, judged you, berated you, whatever you're going through, or you're living with disappointment. Always understand there is a source behind the source.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story behind the story, and you got to see these things in 3D. So there's something nefarious driving that. So here's a passage you can go to, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and literally read through that and then do what it says. Be strong in the strength of his might.
Mm-hmm.
Confess to God. Simply say, God, I'm feeling weak right now. Just be honest. God can take it. Trust me, he's got big shoulders. He can take it. Just let him know, hey, I'm struggling with this. I need your help.
It's good.
I did that to you on purpose.
I know you did.
You settled back in your chair like, oh, he's going to get on a roll.
I was just going to let you get on a roll.
He's going to get on a roll. That's why I did that.
Preacher's got to preach.
I gave an awkward pause on purpose.
No, it's good.
Get you back on the mic.
It's good.
Yeah, but isn't that where people live, though? I mean, most of the people we talk to are always under some kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Something's going on. And it would be nice to say, well, that's unusual. But truthfully, life is rough. Life is hard, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So any way we can help you and encourage you in that, go to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, and go through basically verse 17. And that's the armor of God. And put on the armor of God. Mm-hmm. Let it strengthen you. And I come back to this often. I've said this before on the show, but there's some things that bear repeating often because we have short-term and selective memory.
Do we?
Yeah. Hello? What'd you say? Yes, of course. And so, hey, also, I want to recommend a podcast for people to listen to. It's called Curry and the Keeper by Adam and Tina Curry.
Yes.
Listen, we love these guys. They are truly...
If you really want to laugh...
For real.
Listen to yesterday's
episode.
Oh, it was
great. I listened to half of it.
I told her I laughed
30 minutes
so hard. I was just like... I laughed at her laughing at him because they went on and on about his hoodies, and I thought that was
I didn't
really
even get
funny.
To that part yet, so you gave me a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So,
oh my
So go to Curry and the Keeper. You can look them up online easily. You can find them on Fountain. You can find them on any platform.
We wouldn't be here if it weren't for them, so we're
that
obviously going to promote.
Not that we wouldn't be born, like, physically.
Oh,
but
no, but
we wouldn't be here
doing
on
a podcast.
Yeah, I know,
I'm just
being silly.
You're funny.
But we love those guys. So thankful for Adam and Tina. Truly, truly our best friends and just a God thing, bringing our lives together and walking together. So big news for Adam Curry. He's going to be on a show, but I'm not going to talk about it because he didn't disclose it, did he?
He did.
Did he later?
By accident.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't got there. I got 30 minutes in. So
he said on a show, I can't disclose it. And then he said he made a comment that about wearing a hoodie when he goes on Joe Rogan. So, yeah.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. So the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, he didn't give any details. He just kind of went over it real quick.
Funny.
It was funny because she said, oh my gosh, you just let the cat out of the bag. And I thought he would say, what are you talking about? Like, try to, smooth it over like it didn't really.
Oh my gosh.
Like he didn't really say it because he's been on there before. It could have been. She kind of.
I'm super excited for him being on that platform. It's such a huge platform.
Curious as to what questions he's going to be asked.
I know.
Because he said they don't really talk about it.
They just do what we do. They do what we do.
They just sit down and talk.
And go.
It'll be interesting to hear.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's going
to
be great. I'll be praying for Adam on that because, I mean.
He's also speaking at the National Religious Broadcasting.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Convention.
That's a big deal. It's an annual.
In a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a huge annual convention. Yeah. And so he's doing a couple of different things there. He's doing an onstage thing with John Fuller from.
Focus on the family.
He's going to do like a fireside chat type deal. And so I'm excited about that. Also, I'm going to be starting a new podcast, but it's going to be sort of in line with this. In other words, it'll still be Living Up and Down World.
We talked about last week.
But it'll be specific to conversations
or
fireside chat.
Oh, yeah. You asked for names, and then Tina spanked
and
you.
And some gave me some
and said,
names.
No. That's bad marketing.
She spanked Adam.
Well,
not
she spanked
me,
Adam.
Then Adam
even,
shared that with me.
Yeah, mentioning that.
Because
she said, just keep it living
keep
up
it
in
living
a down,
up and
world,
down world,
and
but
then this is the
do
interview.
Do subtitles, so do interviews.
So
I'm
that's
super
what you're
excited.
Do.
Yeah, I've already, I mean, of course, I'm going to have Adam on. That'll be a great chat. And then I'm going to have Rick Green on real soon because, man, he's just such an expert on what's going on culturally, and I really want him to be there. And I've got a whole list of people I've already put in my mind that I want to get on the show and get in here.
You
so I'm excited
get
about. Oh, it's
on
easy.
On the schedule.
No, that's the easy part, getting people in here. So anyway, hey, we love you guys. Go to livingupinadownworld.com. Check it out. Subscribe. And got a couple people to thank. Just want to say thank you for people that have been faithful to encourage us in giving. And by the way, this is episode number 88.
Yes.
Yeah, 88. Double eights. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. But I want to thank Steve for his gift to us. And man, he also sent me a great letter last week. And just really appreciate him. Thanks to Julie for her gift as well. And of course, to Adam, the Podfather Curry, for his always his faithful donations of Satoshis. Mm-hmm. We so appreciate it. And also just notes. I mean, we get notes, we get encouragement, and there's not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't come up to us in church and they know more about our lives than we know sometimes.
People that I wouldn't even, that I don't even know that come up and say, I listened to your
podcast.
Isn't
that great? It's so great, actually. It is. It's really I've gotten a lot of good feedback from that interview I did with Jenny as well. So if go back two episodes to, I think it's 86.
It says it on the episode what it is.
Yeah. It's
I showed it to
Jenny
someone
McCombs.
Last night.
That go and listen to that. That interview with her where she tells her story as a J6er and what she's gone through and what she's doing. First of all, it'll encourage you, but it'll inform you. And so let that happen. So thanks again for being with us. We love you guys. Hey, we're out of here. I'm getting hungry. It's lunchtime.
Me too. Let's go.
Stomach's growling. Thanks for being on the show, Dame Annette. It's always good to have you. I'm glad that you could come for the interview today. Fireside chat. So hopefully I can get you back on the program someday.
Someday. We'll see.
Hey, love you. We are out of here. Keep living up in a down world.